And we are diving beneath the headlines this week on the push and pull of pride. This is a month of celebration. A gorgeous Portraits of Pride exhibit on Boston City Hall Plaza. A parade and festivals tomorrow. Inclusive, coordinated, official for the first time since 2019. A Commonwealth known across the country for leading in support of LGBTQ rights. And anti-gay hate graffitied on a church in Jamaica Plain just yesterday. A declaration of a state of emergency by a major advocacy organization for the LGBTQ community across the country. And a 33% increase in hate crimes in the state that included increased activities against the gay community. Joining us to talk about it all, Jean Dolan, creative director of the Portraits of Pride exhibit. Welcome back, Jean.
Thank you for having me, Tinziana. Pleasure to be here.
Also joining us, two leaders featured in the 2022 and 2023 exhibits. Beth Chandler, president of the YW Boston, on the line, featured in 2022. And Gary Daffin, co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, here in Studio 2, featured in 2023. Beth, welcome back.
Thank you, Tinziana. Good morning.
Good morning. And Gary, welcome back to you as well.
Great to be here.
We're going to keep working with your mic, Gary, but in the meantime, I'm going to start with Jean and Beth here. I'm going to start with the two of you. We had you on the show last year after the vandalizing of the 2022 Portraits of Pride. And I'm starting there because Quincy Roberts, who is the City of Boston's LGBTQ advancement the head of that office, was with us, also had a portrait vandalized, and said this to us at the time.
It feels kind of icky. that's the word that's popping in my head. It feels kind of icky that we have to, you know, do all these interviews about the vandalism, but it's 22 beautiful portraits there, and nobody seems to want to talk about that and all the work that Gene put into that on his own.
And so that's where I wanted to be today, and that is where I want to be today. And yet then we have something like yesterday, right, in the vandalizing of a church in Jamaica Plain. And so I just want to start by being really clear, Jean and Beth, I heard you, right? We pivoted in the middle of that conversation to have a better conversation, and the call to be focused on pride, pridefully, hasn't changed.
No, unfortunately, it hasn't changed. I think that's the blessing and a curse. We live in the city of Boston where so many people, I think most people are welcoming and are in community with us. But then we have those few who also have so much hatred for us and they express that so loudly, which is why it's so important for us to counter so loudly and with height. Just like the portraits. There's a reason why in curating this exhibit, it is not small. There's a reason why I want it for the public access that everyone can see it. It's there 24 hours and for the whole month on City Hall Plaza where everyone can actually see the leaders that are leading the city forward, certainly that are really serving as pillar for the LGBTQ communities, because the hate can be so loud and we have to counter that with joy and celebration.
So I will all be distracted until we know that we can hear Gary. So let's test this mic.
Testing. One,
there
two.
We go. There's Gary.
I'm back.
It's good to have you. I do want to pick Beth up here because I did start in that 2022, 2023, the yin and yang of this moment, Beth Chandler.
Yes. And Tiziana, first I want to say thank you for having us back. You are, and your program is, you know, of integrity because you said you'd have us back and you did and you remembered. So thank you. Second, I want to say, you know, the portraits this year are beautiful. Again, they are multi-generational, multiracial, which I think is important to really show that the LGBTQ plus community embraces all and represents all of us. And I think that is one of the beautiful things about the exhibit. And, you know, I don't think we should be surprised about what happened yesterday. I mean, this reminds me to, you know, of the Jim Crow laws that came out of Reconstruction, right? When we were actually, you know, trying to get past slavery, trying to incorporate Black Americans into U.S. society and fabric. And there was so much positive that happened during Reconstruction. And then you saw the backlash, which was Jim Crow. And I think that's what we're seeing, particularly after, you know, the summer of George Floyd and Breonna Breonna Taylor. There was so much activism. There was so much happening. You have the beautiful portraits last summer, and I think you're just seeing that backlash of what happens when people are afraid to see the progress for communities that have been marginalized for so long.
So I do want to name some of the names of these gorgeous portraits, and you can see them online as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Beth, you last year, Gary Daffin, you this year. We've got, I noticed Catherine D'Amato, president of the Greater Boston Food Bank, Maura Healey, governor of Massachusetts, Wilnelia Rivera, the political strategist, Ariel Foxman, vice president of Boston Seaport. So, we, you know, business and government and activists, you know, across the landscape of leadership, Gary Daffin, of the Greater Boston and of the Commonwealth. When you decided to be represented in this way, what did it mean for you?
Well, first, Joan tried to find me last year and had a hard time. And part of me is sort of, you know, a little hesitant. I'm not big on seeing my own picture. But I think it's important for people to see all kinds of folks from the community and all ages. I think what's important about this this exhibit is that we see people who are in their 70s, people who are in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And getting back to what we started the conversation about, you know, Pride has always been about the health and well-being of queer people, the health and safety of queer people. And 50 years after we started Pride, we still, everything we do, all of our advocacy is really about the health and safety of queer people. And what we are seeing now is a backlash, if you will, to the progress that we've made. And that progress has happened fairly quickly compared to other movements. Mm. And some people are still stuck. And change is difficult for them. But, you know, I think we all know that change always wins. And those portraits are just a real picture of where we've come. And it's really great to see the young people who have grown up their entire lives in a place where they're a little bit freer than we were when we were younger. And I think that's what I like the most about it, is seeing young people who still have struggles and still have challenges, but are starting from a different starting line than we did. And that's what every generation does. We move the ball down the court and hand it off to the next group to take it even further. But what we're seeing in these backlashes is that we still have a long way to go.
Yeah. We're talking with Gary Daffin and Beth Chandler, both leaders in the Greater Boston area, whose pictures are featured in the Portraits of Pride exhibit last year and this year, and Jean Dolan, who's the creative director of Portraits of Pride, as we look at this moment heading into the Pride Parade and festivals this weekend, another week of tough hate, as well as we head into celebration for our LGBTQ community. I want to pick up on something Beth Chandler said. Beth, you talked about sort of this post-Reconstruction moment. I've talked to Ibram X. Kendi a couple of times on the show recently, you know, How to Be an Anti-Racist and Stamped from the Beginning, comparing the post-2020 racial awakening for some in our country and that pushback to also a post-Reconstruction pushback that he has found apt. And so, Jean Dolan, I'll turn to you. We just had Kendi and a graphic artist, Joel Christian Gill, on. They're just releasing a graphic arts, a comic book version of his definitive history of racist ideas in America, because art is a new way to be challenged by and grapple with the hard ideas of our history of oppression in America. And of course, Portraits of Pride is pride and also art telling the truth.
Absolutely. And I have to give credits to John Hewitt, who put so much time and effort, and really his talent is out of this world in capturing everyone's soul. I've said this last year, some of these photo shoots can last anywhere between 2 hours all the way to 7 hours. So he really takes his time with the subject and making sure the stories are told. Me and him, we leave the photo shoot inspired by the stories of the people. And the people are the ones who inspire me to do the project, who inspire me to certainly do it again this year. And you know, when Gary talked earlier about safety and well-being, that's something that's always in the back of the mind of every queer people that I know, certainly myself. And when you see the church being vandalized or the portraits being vandalized, it's really an indication of what queer people go through every day. There's always, if I go here, will I be safe? If I stay there, will I be safe? Will my family be safe? Can I sit here? Can I live in that neighborhood? There's always that worry in the back of your mind, which can cause such trauma. And last year when they were vandalized, on the Common. I remember Quincy, who was there with us in the interview, but also his portrait was the first one to be vandalized on day one. He made a commitment in saying, we're going to bring this exhibit to City Hall Plaza no matter what it takes, because there we have some sort of safety. There are much more cameras. There's security 24/7. And he fought real hard to get this exhibit to be on the plaza. You know, the plaza recently renovated. It's really the first big, large scale exhibit on the plaza, really welcoming everybody to understand the plaza. It's not just like a big lot space. It's really a space that Bostonians can use and families can come and play, and certainly where art can live. So I have to say, it takes a community to bring the project together. John, with his lenses, capturing the people and counting on friends like Beth Chandler to give me suggestions of who should be featured, and Arlene Isaacson to put me in touch with Gary, and certainly Quincy fighting to get the process, to get the permits right on time for this exhibit to happen. And I have to thank the city, arts and culture, and at some point, even the mayor herself had to make a call for me to get one of the honorees in the exhibit this year. So it takes a village to put it together. I'm excited and I'm happy that the community can see themselves reflected, and we can really use this exhibit as sort of like a compass to have conversations, much needed and hard conversations that are challenging, because I do believe these stories need to be told. I do believe we need to celebrate those living heroes among us, but I also think there are so much work ahead of us to be done. So how can we use this moment to leverage for the work?
So let's talk about that. And I do want to note Arlene Isaacson, another voice that our listeners have come to know well, and another member of the Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus. I'll turn back to Beth Chandler here. Again, you've just heard Jean Dolan, who's the creative director of Portraits of Pride, Beth Chandler, president of YW Boston. I want to stay with this, you know, we'll deal with a moment of struggle and a moment of pride. If we're going to deal with a moment of threat, we'll deal with a moment of safety. So in this year's exhibit, Beth, what gives you the most joy or the most inspiration?
You know, I think it was referenced before. I think it's the diversity of the community that's reflected in the photos. It really shows just the richness of the LGBTQ plus community. The pictures are beautiful, and I think, you know, pride is about beauty. It's about celebration. It's about perseverance, and it's about the entire LGBTQ plus community. And so I think, to me, the portraits last year and this year as well really reflect just, again, the diversity of the community. And I think, as one person said, you know, the age range, I think, goes from 10 to 80 in the photo. I mean, it's just, you know, just remarkable.
So I want to stay with that and do the and, Gary Daffin. Mm-hmm. So rattling around in my mind is this move by the Human Rights Campaign to create its first ever state of emergency for the LGBTQ community in America. And one of the things that they've done is create this chart. It runs all 50 states down the left, and it runs a set of legislation across the top. And I'm turning to you, of course, because, right, this is legislative work is in your wheelhouse. Two positive focused bills that they look to see if a state has passed around a non-discrimination law and a conversion therapy ban, and then a set of bills that they literally mark as bad, things like gender-affirming care bans, bathroom bans, LGBTQ erasure laws, etc. Massachusetts comes out very strong in that space. There are states that come out terribly, the Dakotas, for example, Florida, Idaho, Iowa. So we have this moment, 10 to 80, celebrated on Boston City Hall Plaza. Incredible diversity, people stepping forward, a state that does well, but in some of the other conversations we've had over the last few months on the show, also pushback from the LGBT community saying, and a state that needs to do better. So in this moment, when we have an openly gay governor, we have women across the top of the constitutionally held offices and a foundation, what's the next step for a safe place in Massachusetts for our LGBTQ community?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's two things that influence how we, whether we feel safe in our homes, at work, where we play. One is structural. I mean, we can change the laws, which we've done a good job of doing here in Massachusetts, whether that's civil rights or marriage or insurance laws. Then there's the culture. Then there's the people. And that's a harder thing to do. I think most people, you know, we have 70% of people in Massachusetts support gay marriage. We managed to, you know, defeat the effort to roll back transgender rights in the state. However, we still have a lot of people who do not understand and who are, don't really embrace transgender people. And I feel across the country that has become kind of, that community has become a surrogate for the rest of us, because people don't feel comfortable attacking gay people for the most part openly. Mm-hmm. But they do feel very comfortable attacking drag performers, drag queens. They do feel very comfortable attacking transgender people. And I feel that we have two things. One, the LGBT community itself has to make sure that we fully embrace everybody in our spectrum, particularly transgender folks, and that we come to understand that it's our job. We have to be allies to that community to make sure that they have the same rights and they can be safe wherever they are. And, you know, I do think we still have places and pockets in Massachusetts that are not as forward-leaning or progressive as you might think they are. Everyone thinks Massachusetts is just this liberal bastion and everything's great. But we're culturally a little bit more parochial. And even though, you know, legally we're fine, there are places where people don't feel comfortable. And a lot of times that is in people's, in their own families, in their own communities. And I think we have to do more to allow people to have the space to be who they are in their own homes, in their own families, in their own communities. And that means that we have to have those difficult conversations with the people that we love who aren't there yet, who may have been great for us when we were, because we were gay. They may be fine with LGBT people and Q people, but not the T people. There is a big gap there. And I think that's a, that to me, that is a conversation we need to have, because that conversation will influence, it will, if, you know, if we can make the world safer for transgender people, it's safer for everybody. And so we have to be allies and have those very difficult conversations. So when people say, well, you know, but it's still a guy, I'm like, no, that is, this is a person who is, identifies as female. They, you know, we have to be willing to do that. And I don't think that we, even as in the overall queer community, hasn't made that leap yet. I think we have to be able to sort of be down in the fight to say we are going to make sure that we protect the most marginalized in our communities. And that includes people of color who also happen to be transgender, even are more marginalized. So, you know, that's why, you know, the Pride this year, we're really uplifting intersectionality, you know, looking at how different, how intersectional queer people are. We're everywhere. And so we have to make sure that the people who are most marginalized are taken care of, and that we uplift and support.
We'll stop on that call to action. Gary Daffin, co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, also with us. Beth Chandler, president of YW Boston, and Jean Dolan, creative director of Portraits of Pride. I hope all three of you have a fabulous weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Well.